It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's 7 o'clock on Utah's Morning News. Good morning. I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report.
House Democrats are introducing a bill today to expand the U.S. Supreme Court.
Utah Senator Mike Lee says it is a terrible idea. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards is live with more. Mary?
Amanda, the bill would increase the size of the Supreme Court from 9 to 13 justices. The Democrats sponsoring the effort say they must expand the court to restore power to the people. This comes less than a week after President Biden announced a plan to study the idea adding justices. On the campaign trail, he said he was against packing the court. Utah Senator Mike Lee tweeted that this is an act of arrogant lawlessness. He's co-sponsoring an amendment to the Constitution to require that the Supreme Court stay at 9 justices, and some House Republicans have a similar bill. I'm Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
Police in Roy are investigating the death of a man in what appears to be a homicide. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe with what we know.
Police say they're still working to notify the victim's family of the death, so they're not releasing many details this morning. Roy police responded to what was originally reported as a cardiac arrest. When they arrived, they found the man had already died, but then determined he'd actually been killed. Police say they do know the identity of a suspect. Both the victim and suspect are men between the ages of 35 and 45, but no one has been arrested yet. Amy Kobabe, KSL News Radio.
The Afghanistan War.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Afghanistan right now, talking to Afghan leaders about President Joe Biden's decision to withdraw all American troops from the country. He also made a stop to speak with U.S. troops.
Thank you for being here in Afghanistan and for the extraordinary work that you and all your colleagues have been doing. I have to tell you, I am constantly in awe of what you've achieved, what you're doing.
Biden says the remaining 2,500 U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan will be home before the 20th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks.
Some Utah military families are expressing reservations over the decision to pull troops out. But when asked if this will make her husband's death meaningless, Jenny Taylor, widow of Major Brent Taylor, says this will not affect his legacy.
No matter the outcome of this war, no matter the outcome of politics, no matter how awful the world continues to get, because it does, my husband Brent Taylor never will have died in vain.
Utah Representative Chris Stewart says he's grateful President Biden has decided to end a, quote, needless war. Since the war in Afghanistan began nearly 20 years ago, 25 members of the military from Utah have been killed there.
The U.S. has just announced a new round of sanctions on Russia today as retaliation for the massive cyber attack uncovered late last year.
The sanctions are in response to the SolarWinds breach, where Russian hackers are believed to have breached several agencies by infecting software with malicious code, as well as for election interference. A report from the Director of National Intelligence alleges Russian President Vladimir Putin authorized operations during the election to help former President Trump.
ABC's Lionel Moise says the Biden administration has also announced the expulsion of 10 Russian diplomats.
Amanda, we're hearing that the Secretary of State is now addressing some media over in Afghanistan. Let's see if we can listen in to just a few of his comments briefly.
And one we're committed to remaining a partner for.
I'm sure that you got the sense, despite your words that are intended to reassure the Afghan leadership and the Afghan people, that there is a palpable sense of unease, if not dread, of a kind of a fear of abandonment. And to be honest, if we are being honest, there is a history of that in this country, particularly with the United States and other Western countries. So what can you do to more to convince them that your words are not just words and that we're not going to have a redux of what happened in the 80s, where the country was essentially forgotten about by the West and left left to fester. And then secondly, upstairs in your remarks to the embassy staff, you talked about how you would take care of safety and security of local employees, and one of the ways to do that is through honoring the SIV, the Special Immigrant Visa Program. How exactly are you planning to do that? Are you going to step this up? You were asked a similar question in Brussels yesterday, but I wasn't quite sure of the answer. Thank you. Sure.
Thanks, Matt. A couple of things. Look, this is a time of transition, and with any transition comes uncertainty, comes concern, and I very much recognize that, and I see that. And let me say a couple of things in that regard. So, as you know, we met with President Ghani, with Chairman Abdullah, and other leaders from the government today. And I listened carefully to what they had to say, particularly in response to the President's speech last night and the decision we made. And I've got to say, at least what I heard today was pretty consistent across the board. Respect for the President's decision, profound appreciation for our years of partnership, but also commitment to and optimism about the next chapter.
That is U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Afghanistan right now taking questions and talking about the 2,500 U.S. soldiers that are there and still serving that the president has called home by the anniversary of the terrorist attacks of September 11th.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.